November the 18th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wasiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. We will begin the Ramadan session. Topic, man and the universe has made, created for each other. Its timeless relevancy. Lecturer, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We will open with the reading of the Quran, Surah 1, Al-Fatiha. I will read the Arabic and then we will give you the English translation. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata alladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayra maghdubi 'alayhim wala dhalin. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the world, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. You do we worship and your aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy, the way of those whom thou has bestowed your grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Dear beloved Muslims, believers, peace be unto you, Ramadan Mubarak. We thank Allah for this month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, a month in which there are many blessings according to the word of God. In the Quran, we thank him for our presence today and for our life and health. And we pray that he always is with us, guide us, and grant us mercy. It is important to know and remember that the first word of communication to our prophet was read, Iqra. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Praise be to Allah, highly glorified is he, the creator of everything. And in the words of the Quran, he is our Kali, Kuli Shay. Whatever man creates is a creation of God also. That is, what is of lasting value comes from God's creation. God's creation is the universe and everything contained in it, including man. The great and the most high creator created man as a thinker for man to engage creation. The study of man's development as a thinker or a philosopher or a scientist on one hand and as a human community on the other hand presents an interaction showing the two concerns working together as mates who address the relevancy of a timeless nature in the history of the community development of civilized society. Allah Most High says that He created for man's mate of the same nature, in one reference it is, that is, and Allah highly glorified it, He says, also that man's female counterpart is man's tillus. Tillus is an area to be cultivated or an area under cultivation. In another Quranic reference, Allah, the Creator, says, the size of the garden created for man to engage with his heart and with his intelligence is as the size or expanse of the sky and the earth, the universe, everything. Relevancy. Many critics of religion, and especially scripture, Bible, and Quran, they say that the thing that people build their life on in religion and what was revealed or what came to them through their prophet, who received revelation, has little or no relevancy now in this modern time or in the world. Relevancy means important meaning. The relevancy for a man in times past, present, and in the future is understood by recalling how progress for the nation and recorded in history and explained as a result of the resourceful earth and universe engaged by human heart and human brain. So this is what we learn from history of man and his role in the universe or in the material world. In commenting on relevancy regarding commands, read, firstly, reflecting on the treasures of knowledge recorded in history as the accomplishments of civilization. These treasures were found in some form already existing, whether in the earth or in the study of the skies or the stars. Allah says to His servant and messenger Muhammad, upon him be the peace, read in the name of your Lord who created. Obviously, our Prophet Muhammad understood the connection for human heart and intelligence when God introduced himself as a creator in his first communication to Muhammad. Human society, rather as a small number of neighbors or landowners coming together upon common interests, or town folks or city dwellers, most important of the bonds holding individuals together is a common bond of shared space on the land. The land is a creation of God, and the people are a creation of God. God made the land for people and made the people for the land. The more people engage land, the better their condition, the more developed will be the land. Moreover, the land will be providing its fruits and its products, serving man's needs, often for more than one generation. What a beautiful parable given in scripture comparing the relationship of husband and wife to the relationship of the developer of the earth or the land. We praise Allah and thank Him for His most valuable gifts, the gift of idea, human type for us to emulate Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and for marvelous systems of matter commonly referred to as the universe. We pray we will always follow the words of God and the leadership example of His servant and messenger, the last prophet Muhammad. Our Lord, give us in this world good and in the destiny good, and save us from the punishment of the fires of our wild passion. Praise be to God, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds, and we salute His servant and messenger Muhammad with the traditional salute, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and what follows of that traditional salute. Praise be to Allah, and highly glorified is He. He says in the Quran, that he took his servant and messenger Muhammad on the night visit up into the sky to the furthest Masjid al-Aqsa, dearly loved gathering here, or a congregation of believers, as it is recorded soon after this marvelous event in the life of our prophet. He answered the invitation for the people of Medina to come from the strange situation he was in, and his followers, the strain on his mission caused by disgruntled Meccans, even among them his own relatives, two of his uncles. He went to Medina where a warm reception was awaiting him. This event designated the beginning of a new calendar, a new series of events, a new history, soon a community fulfilling the need of people belonging to a cohesive society took shape and form. Education and lifeblood and Salat, the life, were established as a core concern, nucleus for binding others, the concern necessary for the complete design or picture of an Islamic society. A persecuted plane for Islamic community life on this planet was given a situation for its realization. Whatever is desired to be accomplished first needs the right situation. If you want to drive a car to see neighbors at a distance away, first there must be the right situation. There must be a car drivable and a person qualified to drive. A man wanting to board up something needs the right situation. There has to be things on hand. He is not comfortable to go to work until the site is ready. The tools are with him, and he is clear as to what to do. This is said to make what was given in the first part of the khutbah or lecture more understandable. Praise be to Allah, the creator of everything. The potent and the pregnant term read for spiritual understanding when connected with the expression the creator, and hence further connecting to creation, is what situated our prophet's heart and mind to understand his calling, what he was to do, his mission, what it would be all about. Our most important concerns, firstly, survival and progress, children, education, and their future, community survival and progress, institutions, and industry through the wicked dispute nature with their brains, life progresses. Firstly, God guided is to be relied upon for us to have the right situation to have development for our own souls, for our community. We have education to have our future prepared for the next generation, for our children. We need the right situation. If we rely upon Allah on the guidance that he's given in the Quran and on the model person for us to emulate, Muhammad, the prophet, the prayers, and the peace be upon him, we will have the right situation. Dua, our Lord, you are surely gathering all humanity for a day in which there will be no doubt. Our Lord, do not have our hearts turned back after you have guided us aright. And give us from your presence mercy. Surely you are the grantor. Ameen. Iqamah, the call for standing in prayer. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gifts and blessings of the model human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God, and what follows of that salute, or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophet mentioned in the Bible, as it is given in the Quran. Now, you are not familiar with this, I don't think, but the descendants of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, some of my brothers, some of my sisters, nephews, nieces, great-nephews and great-nieces, they have gotten together and formed a wonderful project to commemorate the work, the contribution to us and to society, to the world, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They are really a beautiful group. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and my mother, Clara Muhammad, were blessed with some beautiful, bright, educated, professional grandchildren as well as children. I don't want to leave us out. I just wanted you to be aware of this because it is going to really be wonderful and really great. In fact, they are meeting today, tomorrow, and Sunday. This weekend here in Chicago area, we pray that Allah blesses their efforts, and I am sure that they are going to get a lot of support for a commemorative center that would have the works of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his contributions. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. I know a lot of you care about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his works. Yes, we care a lot about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his works, and we care a lot about the family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I thank Allah that we are blessed to have some very bright professional youngsters in the family among the descendants of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thank you. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. It looks like we are nearly ready now. All praises. And please, Brother David, see me at the meeting. We have an appointment, brother. Hold it. Brother David, he has never done this, but some people run up to me and they want people to think that they have given me something extremely valuable. And some of them want you to think they are giving me money. They run up to me and give me something, and most of the time when I get home, I can't even read it. But I can't blame them. All of these good-looking brothers and sisters are out here, and they want them to know that they are here too. About 3 years ago, almost now, I noticed how the crowd was growing for the yearly annual Ramadan session. And I said, I believe in our hearts, the month of Ramadan, these sessions are replacing the old annual Nation of Islam Saviors Day that we used to come to. Our spirit was for that every year. All of us were in the spirit to come to Chicago to hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to meet one another, and once a year for Savior's Day. So I think Ramadan session is kind of replacing that. I believe it is going to grow as big as Savior's Day used to be. It is growing fast. So we are going to have to find a larger place. I promise you, the next Ramadan session, inshallah, I said that because we never know what is going to happen to me or to anybody, but I feel now like I got most of my life ahead of me. But that's the spirit, you know. So inshallah, we will definitely get away from this situation. We won't have it like this. We'll find a bigger place. We'll have a place to accommodate everybody, because I don't like you inconvenience like this, standing and others sitting. I don't like that. I promise you next year, it won't be this way. You'll have a place to sit. So this is when we like the press to come in and report. They like to report when you have empty seats. But inshallah, we will remedy it some kind of a way. Even if we had chairs there, it is not a place to put the chair. So we are going to have to get a larger place. The community of human beings, the Jummah Khutbah today, the two-part lecture, was on the relationship that man has to the universe. But man here is plural. It means the community of human beings, descendants of Adam, the first father, Adam, and its relevancy, it's important for us now, the past, present, and most importantly, it's important for us now, this time that we are living in this crowded world, that we are living in. We believe in the timeless nature of revelation, the Quran, or revealed word from God. The Quran and what was revealed before it, it's timeless. So that is first fits into all times. It fits into all times. So judgment day is continuous. The essential nature and essence of human life created by God does not change its nature. Its nature does not change. So those who survive with their original nature, they can be revived if they are slumbering or sleepy and negligent or whatever by God's words if presented to them correctly. Even if they are dead, they can be resurrected if the word of God is presented to them correctly. Now you say, well, if they are dead, that's on Judgment Day. We believe that Judgment Day is continuous. It is Islamic belief. There will be a final standing or day of judgment, but Judgment Day is all the time. And the resurrection is not as important for the individual who lives and dies as it is for community life that lives and dies. So we should understand that. Muhammad the Prophet, who received the Quran, became the leader of a new community, an international community now of over 1.25 billion on this earth. And we should understand that life was given to nations, to communities all over the planet Earth, who were sleeping or mentally dead, but they were awakened to life by the Quran and the teaching, leadership, and example of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, we witness God is one and care about all of his creation, especially his human creation and the model human life that is exemplified in the life history of Muhammad the Prophet. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. For this session, the first day of this session, we will be discussing revealed scripture. The cultivation of the human soul is education and the right perception of human identity. The first identity for humans is the identity given by God. If we understand the Quran and also the Bible, on the genesis of man, how we came to exist as humanity and civilized society, how we came to exist on this planet Earth. If we understand it, we understand that the first identity for humans is the identity given by God, not what is given from Darwin about us descending from apes or monkeys. It is the identity that God revealed of us. And we believe that this identity was conceived in paradise and then later formed in the earth. So the Prophet Muhammad, upon him be the prayers and the peace, is a model of human excellence for all believers to emulate. And these believers, including more than Muslims, God says in the Quran that he is an example model for any who believe in God in the last day and believe that they have to account before God, believe that they should be accountable to their creator, God, and who believe that Muhammad is an excellent model for them. The prophets are to be seen as singular and plural figures. In the Quran, also in previous scriptures, Adam, Abraham, Jesus Christ, and others, prophetic figures or prophets, servants of God, are to be seen as singular but also as plural figures. That means that they do not only represent themselves individually, but what is more important for us students, and I say a student because I'm always a student, the prophet said education to get knowledge is an obligation on the Muslim from the cradle to the grave. And that is spirit of most of us. Our spirit is to continue to seek the word of God and to seek understanding that our spirit, and no matter how old we get on the calendar, that doesn't change. That spirit stays young. So each of these great prophets, and I did not name all of them, I just named a few of them, the main one. I did not mention Moses, but all of the prophets. They are special types of what God wants us to become ourselves. We should have the character, our character should be growing more like the character of Muhammad, the prophet. Our choices that we make in life should be guided by the principles that Muhammad, the prophet, stood upon. So our choice would be good, will be right, will be the best choice. We should follow him in his excellence. Generally speaking, he also was an excellent husband to his wives. The more we know about him as a person in history, Islamic history firstly, the more we can benefit from his excellent model of human life that God has shown in us in the Quran. So Muhammad is what we are created to be in our human excellence. So I could say to you and be correct that when you look at Muhammad's human excellence, you are looking at what you were created to be yourself. You are looking at what you are created to be. God is not pointing us to something that is not of our own life. He wants to show what is each individual's life as that life was planned by God, planned God and Creator. So God says in the second chapter of the Quran, verse 150, quote, So when cometh soever, thou startest forth, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred mount. And when cometh soever, ye are turned your face thither. Now, this is Old English. It means turn your face in that direction towards what has been mentioned. The sacred mount, that there be no grounds of dispute against you amongst the people of the book, except from them that are bent on wickedness. That means that they are just obese with doing those bad things. They are fixed. They can't get out of it. They are determined to keep up their wicked ways, bent on wickedness. So fear them not, but fear me. That's God speaking. So fear them not, but fear me, and that I may complete my favor on you, and ye may be guided. And you know, in the beginning of the Quran, after Al-Fatiha, when you are reading the Quran, God tells us of the book, Hudan ila Muttaqin. Hudan ila muttaqi, it is guidance for the pious, for those who reverence God in what he has established to be reverence. Hudan ila muttaqi. A similar verse I'll give you now addressing what we are beginning, bringing forward. Now in the verse 151 of the same chapter, chapter 2, and God says, a similar favor have you already received in that we have sent amongst you an Arabic language is fikun. It literally means in you. And that we have sent amongst you a messenger of your own rehearsing to you our signs and purifying you and instructing you in scripture and wisdom and in new knowledge. Turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Now let us go back to some of what we have recited from Quran for some comments. God says to the prophet, turn your face toward the sacred mosque. And God says to all of us after that, he says to you, speaking to all believers, you all turn your faces toward the sacred mosque, all believers, all followers of Muhammad, all Muslims, are instructed by God to turn our face toward the sacred mosque. And he says, God says this is, no matter from what place we are coming or what place we are in, he wants us to turn our face toward the sacred mosque. You know we do that in prayers, right? And he tells us, which is the promise from God, that if we do that, follow that, no matter where we are on this earth, he will bring us all together. God says by it, he will bring us all together. So there is a lot of struggling in the mind of scholars and religious leaders of Islam over our lack of unity. The way to unify us is very plain and clear. No matter where we are, I'm in the United States, we are in the United States. Other leaders for their people are in India, in Egypt, in Pakistan, in Spain, in Africa, all over the world, in the Philippines, all over the world. God says wherever we are, he will bring us together. So the sacred mosque with no roof over it. But to be brought together, we all must agree in one qibla. It is the sacred mosque, Masjid al-Haram. So this is no ordinary mosque. And you know it does not have a roof over it. The part that is covered by a roof in a addition added to accommodate the growing crowd that comes to make Hajj pilgrimage every year. But when you make the circle around the Kaaba, salute the corners, with the black stone in it, or we wave to it and greet it. If you can go there and actually touch it and kiss it, as Muhammad the Prophet did, at least you are supposed to wave to it. You are supposed to put your open palms up facing it when you make the Hajj pilgrimage. And then you get into the circle with the pilgrims and you start going counterclockwise towards your left side, and you make circles around the Kaaba. So this is the Masjid of Haram. So this is the sacred mosque with no roof over it. You say, well, what about the Kaaba, the house? It has a roof over it. That is not the sacred mosque. The open ground that we walk on around the house, all of that is the Masjid al-Haram. So you see, Masjid comes from the word meaning to prostrate, to make sajda, like we do when we finish our prayers, with our nose, forehead, hands, knees, toes bent like a baby, as getting ready to crawl or something. That is sajda. And the mosque takes its name from that position, masjid, from sajda. So the masjid is the place of prostration. The place of sajda, it doesn't have to have any walls or anything. That is the masjid, Allah says. Al-Aqdu Masjidullah. The earth is Allah's masjid. That means anywhere you make salat is masjid at that time. And if you do it on a regular basis, that spot will become Damascus without any walls, no ceilings, nothing. That spot will become Damascus. I'm talking to my students. I'm trying to teach my students and those who do not see themselves as my students. I'm trying to teach all of you. Now, if you have a bad spirit, that's not my fault. I did not put that in you. I wouldn't say that if I didn't want all of you to benefit, I want all of you to benefit whether you like me or not. You don't have to like me, dislike what I like. You can dislike me. In fact, you can spit on my picture. That's okay, as long as I know you like what I like. You like Quran? You like the right understanding of Quran? You like Muhammad? You like the right understanding of Muhammad? I love you, whether you hate me or not. I don't care. Praise be to Allah. So we are leading up to a conclusion. I visited the Palestinian quarters and saw how bad they were being treated by the Israeli government. That regime at that time, and they have a worse one now, I was given an opportunity to go and visit Masjid al-Aqsa and make prayer there. The Muslim guide showed us the direction for the Qibla there, and he said, "See this name of this masjid?" I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "It is the masjid of the two Qiblas, Masjid Qibli. Qablatan, the prophet, was leading his followers to turn towards Jerusalem in prayer. Allah never told the prophet to do that. But the prophet was not a person raised in any of the religions, and he didn't accept to worship idols or to join the idol worshippers or the pagans in their way of life. So he was just like the person going on his own, not belonging to any religious order or way. And he strayed that way until God began revealing to him a Qibla that shall please you. So he knew how important Jerusalem was in the Christians and the Jews. He led his followers in prayer. And they faced that direction. Later on, there in this presentation, we will come back to that. But for now, you know that it was tamed and the prophet was instructed by Allah, by his creator, by our creator, to turn towards the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Before Islam, that same city, though the Arabs called it Mecca, was called Becca. Now, so we are communicating on this. It says, God says, and I quote, "We see the turning of your face for guidance to the heavens, the skies. Now shall I turn thee. Now shall we turn you to a Qibla that shall please you." So this is clearly saying that Muhammad had been turning in that direction towards Jerusalem, but was not pleased with it. He didn't know what to do. And then God answered his stress situation and said, "Turn then your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Whenever you are, turn your face in that direction." Then it says, the people of the book knew well that that is the truth from their Lord. Allah is not unmindful of what they do. So what is it saying? Don't just read and not think. This is saying that Christians and Jews knew and know that the better Qibla for human beings on this earth is the Qibla that is in the Masjid Haram in Mecca at that site. A little simple cubic house that has been reported in legends, in cultural tradition, legends of the Arabs as a house that was built by Abraham and his son Ishmael, not Isaac, peace be upon the prophet, because all of those that I mentioned are prophets. What's so valuable about this Qibla, and why do the people of the book do not acknowledge that Muhammad is turning to something that they are well aware of, and that is turning to a direction that is more important for humanity there and all over the planet Earth than the Qibla that he was turning to before that was in Jerusalem? That one in Jerusalem, it is valuable by Jews so much because it has the ruin there of a great kingdom that they once had. And they said that kingdom was under Prophet Solomon, or Suleiman, the wise. The temple of Suleiman is there. And during his time there, they achieved great success and had a great kingdom. And people of other races, other religions, all of them were impressed with that kingdom. And many of them had a good life now. Jews, people of different cultures, Africans and others, had a good life there because of the great advance they made for civilization. So the Jews turned back there, and they weep at the Weeping Wall, weeping the loss of a great kingdom. But that great kingdom was a kingdom of the Jews, and they addressed the Lord God as the Lord of Israel. So this bothered our prophet hard, that he is turning in a direction towards something that is not compatible with his perfect ideal, human soul, character, and intelligence. God's way is always the best. So God says that he allowed them to worship that way. He allowed that to happen. God could have stopped it. God could have stopped him before he turned that way and had others following him. God could have stopped that, but God said it was a test for his followers to bring out the strong that would be able to stand up to cannons of the people of the book, be able to stand up to Israel, to the Jews, to their leaders, and not tremble and shake, but be strong in their position behind Muhammad, the leader, Muhammad, the prophet, the prayers and the peace be upon him. So God said it is to test them, to see who would turn around. They say, now you are changing the direction. I'm through with this. You don't even know the direction. You are not even sure which direction we should be praying in. So I'm going to join the Jews or go back to the idolaters, the idol worshippers. Yes, he wanted to test them. You know, I noticed the strong winds that comes in spring, the month of Nisan, introducing spring. Those winds are strong. They knock down weak stuff. They knock down rotten stuff. And then I noticed, at the end of the season, it comes again. Not quite like March. The strong wind comes again, knocking down weak stuff, dead and rotten stuff. So when the next spring comes, the life is strong. And just in case it's not, a strong wind will come against the spring in March. That's the way of God. All of those things are signs. God says, both in the Bible and in the Quran, it says those things are signs, but most of the people are unaware or don't pay attention, heedless. So Honorable Elijah Muhammad kisses the black stone. So I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad once say he made Umrah. He never made Hajj. He was born to Egypt and Pakistan, so he got permission to make Umrah. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one who was calling all white people devils. There were some white ones in the government leadership of the Hajj administration, Saudi Arabia. But they let him in there. We have this picture kissing, we have his picture kissing the black stone. And he said of his making the Umrah there, when I kissed that stone, I felt like I was kissing myself. Now, what is this stone? Muhammad kissed the stone, the prophet himself, prayers and the peace be on him. He kissed the stone. And one of the caliphs said, if I had not seen him, or no, he kissed that stone, I would have never kissed it. And I'm sure that the Khalifa didn't have the insight. Or who are you to say that Khalifa, the companions of the Prophet, didn't have insight? Understand that he had no knowledge just a few years before he saw Prophet Muhammad kiss that black stone. That Khalifa had no knowledge. They had to be educated in scripture and in religion. And they had no history for the for all and had no light. And so they were actually ignorant of what the Christians knew and ignorant of what the Jews knew. Those Arabs that worship idols were ignorant of that, even though this Khalifa never worshiped idols either. He was like Prophet Muhammad. There were a few people in that time did not go for that ignorance. They just did not have a religion. Hanifah. They are called Hanifahs from Hanif. And Abraham is called the Hanif, Ibrahim, or Abraham the Hanif. And the Arabic-speaking people approved of the translation. That Hanif means upright in his human nature. That simply means that those people who were companions associated with each other because they had like minds and like spirits, like characters, and like similar values. And principles, their belief was that a human being should live out the best of his life and he should build upon the best of his life. He should never follow weakness and something that brings down his life. He should only follow strength and that which makes his life more excellent. And it is said by God in the Quran that this was the nature and the position of Abraham, Ibrahim, the Hanif, upright in his nature. So continuing the comments on this, the people of the book, then are refusing to acknowledge something that is great, but though it is not knowledgeable by them that Muhammad's Qibla is the better Qibla for all people in their churches, in their synagogues, and in their religion. It has been acknowledged by them in their search for the ideal society, how to establish the best government for the people. I believe France was first to think what is the best form of government for us to have for all people, to have progress and much less problems than we have with these other forms of government. So we have experience and here thinkers, their philosophers arrived at the idea of collective rule, collective authority, that we now call commonly refers to as democracy. The identity is human. So our democracy is these United States comes to birth upon a perception of the human being as a creation with rights that you can't take away from him. You can't violate these rights of the human being, the human person, and that these rights belong to each human person that will be accepted in the citizenry by virtue of their own natural composition, that they have these rights simply because they are human. The identity is human. So if the identity is human, then they are entitled to these rights by virtue of their own identity. and composition, now made by man, not made by God, by government, pardon me, but inherent in the very flesh of every person. So this is the position that these great philosophers took. And we have this idea of holding our political concepts together for this nation. So that's what holds the concepts together. So the belief in the inalienable right of the individual human person. Once you accept to be a citizen here, you have that recognition. And those rights are not to be taken from you or violated. And no government, nobody, can take those rights from any individual person. So we inherit the spirit for human community. So our government, France and other Western governments that have that as an adhesive, holding their ideology together, those governments have come to the Qibla of the Muslim. That is exactly what we believe. And I'm sure that they had the good intelligence and the heart of the nature, those who put together this idea for us for generations to come. I'm sure they also understood that this applies also to the collective body of the people. It's more important and possession as a possession of the human community than it is as a possession of the human individual. So what we inherit in this community spirit, this spirit for human community, so we are not just inheriting properties that are to be established as properties of individuals, human life. No, we are inheriting an urge, a spirit, a direction in our life stream, our life flows that will connect us with others who have the same. And the purpose of it is for us to form a social community, a community of people. And that is why God says in the Quran, highly glorified is he, that the creatures that go about in this earth, they have communities like yours. It is in the Quran. And you have read it, many of you, that it is to tell us that it is not only a description of human life, this is the description of life, period. So you don't have to stretch your imagination too much to agree with those who say that even plant life exists in community. Grass wants to be with grass. If so happens that way, trees with trees. That is the forest, isn't it? So community life, if you don't have the right Qibla and your life hasn't been interrupted and confused by the world that rejects the real Qibla or is ignorant of the real Qibla, you will be unconscious in your own nature. It will be unconscious in your own makeup to come to that idea or that belief, that recognition that I am human. And I should mate with other humans. If a black is not human and you are black, the human shouldn't mate with the non-human. No human is in first, not in fact, not Africa, not Europe, not white or black, yellow or red. The excellent model is the pure human type. So the human is first. That is your valuable property, that you are human. That is your sacred property, that you are human. It would be better that you are human and keep your own identity with your people. But if all of your people turn to another Qibla that makes them wild and crazy, filthy and inhuman, then you leave all of your people and you become white, yellow, red, or whatever, or anything else rather than give up your humanity. So you see, this is where we should be when we are reading the Quran and reading about Muhammad's excellent model. The excellent model is not an Arab. The excellent model is the pure human type that God wants in every human walking the earth. So if God had awakened him in his Arab identity and fastened him to his Arab identity, he never would have been known. He would have gotten nowhere. But God didn't wake him up in his Arab identity. God woke him up in his human identity. And God gives us a sign, a Qibla, that identifies us with our original nature, our original life, our original human pattern that God planned for all people. Distortion begins to come from the PA system. I didn't know this great wisdom could do all of that. Mr. Farad said, when the time comes, you are going to hear sirens, praise be to Allah. It used to bother me, but it doesn't anymore because I know Allah is with us. And whatever happens, God says, come willingly or unwillingly, the system just couldn't take it anymore. So when managing our life becomes too troublesome for us, and aren't we there right now? When it comes to the public life, it is too troublesome for us. We can't handle it. We can't turn them around. We can't speak to them, and they respect what we are saying. So what happens, we who want to keep the valuable human life, we turn to the supernatural. For those who are already in a religion like Christianity and Jews, we turn to the strength of our religion. For Muslims, it is the same. We turn to the strength of our religion. But sometimes right direction is so confused, even in our religion, we say, I just can't find any help. I've been reading this Bible, and I can't find any help. Now, this may surprise you. I've been reading this Quran, and I just can't find help. I have heard it. So we turn to the supernatural by some name, and sometimes by no name. Well, I don't know what his name is. I know that there is a God, but I just can't be comfortable anymore. Would have been followed. If you remain sincere, God comes to you. So you go on your own, right? You go on your own still believing in the supernatural. That means something that is not subject to the faith that we are subject to or that natural life is subject to. Something that does not get sick. Something that does not get confused, something that does not get weary, or something like that, or break down when difficulties come. So we turn to the something that we say is the supernatural. I know there is a cause behind all of this. I know there is something that brought all of this world about, and something that causes me to be here, etc. So we turn to our own imagination and to your own concerns. And you say, I just can't follow what I have been given before. It ain't helping. And if you remain sincere, God comes to you. Oh, yes. God comes to you. You might ask. God comes to us, too, not just the prophet. Yes. Just hold on. The people of the book has been told, and I put this in quotes, no one has ascended into heaven except him who was already in heaven. So this is the Bible. Now understand that. No one has ascended into heaven except he who was in heaven already. So this was left with the people of the book also. They were given a picture of Adam, or an idea or concept of Adam, the first human being, as the forebearer of all humanity, the first human being, the beginning of humanity on the earth. He wasn't born of man's flesh. Adam was created. It is important for the student, my students, to comprehend what is given in the Quran regarding the necessary steps that have to be taken to establish one's life in the content of community, or of community life. The natural progression for our spirit, our soul, and our human content that God created begins with us having a desire inside of ourselves to establish ourselves spiritually. But we don't think in those terms. Actually, the desire is to establish our soul, but we don't think in those terms. We just know we need to make something better inside of us, our spirit. And thinking when managing our life becomes too troublesome for us, we turn to the supernatural. Even if we keep the religion, we still turn to the supernatural. You are turning to him on your own. You don't have the preachers telling you how to turn to it. Though you go to church, you don't have the synagogue or the imam or the masjid telling you how to deal with this. Though you go to the masjid, it has become a private affair. You want to work this out between you and your Lord. Yes. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday, inshallah. It only means that it pleased God. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.